Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Strength Agenda Radio. I am Tom Soroka, the smaller in stature but bigger in personality gentleman to my left, your right, I guess. I don't know, maybe the other way around. Who cares?
My left.
You're left. It's too early in the morning. It doesn't matter. Here's John Ziegler. John, good morning.
Good morning.
John is going over a cold from Vegas. We survived Vegas, John.
We did survive Vegas. I mean... So far, this cold might kill me before it's all said and done. But yeah, we made it through Vegas.
Made it through Vegas. So for those who we weren't able to get an episode in because unbeknownst to John and I, it was just madness the entire time. Once we got back from the venue, there was very little work getting done. I think John and I both joked around about getting the bare minimum done with our tasks. And there was very little energy. Left to do something like a podcast. So we're like, we're going to do the recap when we get back. And then our normal day that we record, I texted John. I'm like, hey, how you doing? He's like, I am sick. I ordered a bunch of Thai food. I'm not coaching tonight. I am sick. I was like, all right, we'll do it later in the week. So brings us to here. Fortunately, I didn't get sick, but I am definitely playing catch up, both sleep and just physical recovery wise. John, let's talk about Vegas. I guess like just the basics. Like, what were your like initial takeaways from the entire trip and all the things we could talk about? Real quick before we go into that, I want to give a shout out to the IMWA and USA Masters Weightlifting for running a very good meet.
It was a great meet.
I think that is probably their best event that I have been to put on so far. Definitely liked this and how everything ran and all the aspects involved over Finland. Finland was a beautiful location and stuff like that. They were just, I think that was their first Worlds and they were ironing out some kinks and things like that. But this was hands down their best event that they have put on yet. And it was a beautiful event. The ceremonies for the medals, the sessions, the officials, the equipment, everything. Venue left a little bit to be desired being in a casino. But such is life. If that's the worst thing I think that people would complain about was the smoke and the casino, I think they're doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a good event. And you know, for the number of people and the number of days that event was going on for, and you compare it to sometimes like local events, much smaller one-day events, I thought it ran beautifully. And it was a really nice event. Like it didn't have any visible, like, you know, from a, if you're talking about just like a spectator standpoint, it didn't have any visible hiccups.
It did right by the athletes.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Now, granted, I saw a couple people who, it was surprising that they didn't agree with the judges on their red lights. And so I do want to, let's dive into it. Yeah. One of the things that I really appreciate about our team is the fact that, like, if they get a red light, there is no complaining.
No.
There is no, you know, what was that for? They're so... I want to say they're just so good at personal accountability and understanding that if a judge red lights them and they don't get the lift, 100% they know that
there's a reason.
There's a reason. And they just realize, okay, well, I'm just going to go back. I'll fix it and I'll come back and I'll do it again.
Yeah.
I saw some lifts that were very clear, right? Very clear misses, red lights. There was no question about it whatsoever. And the coach and the athlete both were like throwing their arms up, confused why they got red lights.
You and I were in a session where that happened.
Yeah,
you know, like, I wanted to challenge. He's like, I'm going to challenge the call. I'm like, and I so for context, I was officiating. And I was like the guy that like makes sure you're not standing in the doorway or whatever. And John was coaching another athlete that we were fostering for the weekend, and this one guy, I felt bad for him, the lifter, because his results were not great. But the coach was like, I want to challenge the lift. I'm like, you can go out there and talk to them. I was like, well, there's no challenge cards. I was like, it's not going to change their mind. And I was just like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, there were some people that were just like, I don't understand why he got that called back. I'm like, you can ask him after.
Yeah. Right. And they should ask him after. And that guy, to that person's credit, despite the frustration, I still felt that person did a good job of keeping it together.
Yes.
Right. And not freaking out. I saw a lifter and a coach my first day out there, I think. Jess and I were sitting there, and you had somebody in the back, and we were hanging out waiting. And I saw a guy from Puerto Rico
Oh,
who 100% right pressed out,
yeah.
no control of the bar, anything at all. I mean, it was just all around a poor lift,
Yeah.
and thought he had it for some
Yeah.
reason. And then when he got, a no lift, like was so confused.
Oh, yeah, he
And
was very confused.
I thought, buddy, this can't be your first meet.
Now, yeah, I remember the situation you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me, and I think that brings up another point that we were talking about, is so for those who also don't know, they had 881 athletes that
That's a
went through
lot.
this event. Probably one of the bigger, world championship type events that I've been to in a long time. And I think you and I were talking a little bit about this. I've talked about this with other people. I think one of the issues that you run into when you have an event that big and that caliber an event is there's going to be some riffraff. And I personally would have been a proponent of them capping the entries at 500.
Yeah,
I think that
definitely.
would have, like, because I remember talking to some of the officials and stuff like that. And you had people that were giving openers in pounds. And for those who don't know, weightlifting is done in kilograms, and especially at that level of a competition, like that's some bare basics that you need to know.
Yeah.
There were athletes that missed their whole sessions. Like they showed up to weigh-ins and then like just didn't come back to lift. Like there was a lot of little things like that. And then I wonder if you put in, so back, I think 2018 was the last time they did it. They had like a lottery, what they called it. So everybody could sign up for Worlds. But then you were entered into a lottery, and essentially, what they took was they took the top five in every age and weight class initially, and you had, I think it was like 30 days to accept or something like that. And then
Yeah.
once they got through the initial like wave, then they started going through each weight class and filling in based on ranking. So it was a lottery system in terms of like you didn't pay your entry until you got
You
in.
got it. Yep.
Refunded and if you did and all that stuff. And that was, like I said, Montreal was the last time they did that, in 2019. Actually, I stand corrected. 2019 in Montreal, that's when they did that. 2018 was Barcelona. And then 2020 we had COVID. 2021 was they were just hoping to get anybody to show up, sort of a situation. But I feel like that's where this organization is going in terms of getting rid of a little bit of that riffraff, because you get people that
Yeah.
like that are just used to doing their own thing in their garage or in their home gym or wherever it is
Correct.
that they train. And they're just not held to a standard. Like you were talking about our athletes, and that's one of the things that like some of the girls were telling me is they were just like, hey, like we really appreciate the fact that you're a jerk about like people will send me like especially like when we do like powers or whatever. I'm like, if you got to ask, it's not. Or like I will say like, hey, this was a great lift, but like that's not counting in a competition or whatnot.
Right.
So like it's almost to a detriment though, because I will get athletes like questioning all of their stuff, and I want them to have a little bit more confidence than that. But yeah, that was the arguing with officiating calls was definitely an interesting
Yeah. And
side of it.
to something you just said too, it's the I think how you're coaching people, right? As a coach in general. And we had this conversation, around Rachel and Jess's session, because referred to that as like the CrossFit session,
Yeah,
right?
right.
That's where you get a lot of women who, because of their height, build, everything else, tend to like come over from CrossFit.
Yeah.
And CrossFit has, and we've talked about this before, done a great job in elevating the sport's kind of profile because they put so many barbells in people's hands in a way that nothing else has, right? Like just absolutely nothing else.
And there's regular snatching and cleaning done.
Right. And there's regular snatching and cleaning. The detriment to that, and you see that kind of in the over the weekend, is when you're coaching people within the confines of a CrossFit class, unless you are a, I'm not going to say necessarily like a USAW coach, but at least a weightlifting coach that has been to a meet and understands what a judge is looking for and understands what they're going to call you on and what the standard is supposed to be at that level, you're probably not coaching to it. And then you're entering people into these competitions and not understanding why they got called for like an elbow bobble or something where it's like, hey, while you were standing the weight up from your jerk, your arm went like this, and that's why you're getting the red light. When I know you're really strict on that with the people you coach, the folks that I coach at the barbell club at the gym that I coach out of, that is one of the first things that we talk about is like, hey, guys, like we coach to USAW and competition standards, which means if you bobble that lift, like it'll be a no lift. Like I may give you a training PR. Like I might say, okay, hey, look, we're gonna call that a training PR. Like, but in competition, it wouldn't count. Just to help with the confidence piece of like you have the strength to do it, but technique-wise, we definitely need to clean it up if we're going to try it on a platform. And they all understand that and they all appreciate that. And that, I think what we saw over the course of Vegas, while it was a really well-run meet from the organizational side, is I think we saw a bunch of coaches and their athletes who were suffering from the, this is how we do it in training. Why doesn't it count here?
And another aside to that too, you were talking about, there's a lot of missed lifts at this event, like a lot of missed lifts. And originally I was thinking that had to do with the with that somebody was telling me that this was the first event that they did at the world level where they gave out individual medals in the snatch and clean and jerk as well. So usually at the world championships, they were just giving out medals in the total. Like I remember last year in Finland, if you bombed in the snatch, they weren't letting you move on. And
Imagine.
so I wonder if it's a combination of movement standards being enforced at home plus that rule that people were not like, I mean, there was one session in particular that I was officiating. I think I told you about it, where had 14 athletes in the session, and of the 14 athletes, only four of the lifters in that session made two or more lifts for the snatch. Like it was a bloodbath of a session and stuff like that. And so that's always
I mean,
interesting.
they're sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
All right, you're good.
But I mean, the number of people that I saw that didn't get a total,
Yes.
right? And for anybody that's watching that doesn't understand what I just said, so you only get a total when you have a successful lift in both the snatch and the clean and jerk. If you bomb out in one of those, you don't get a total. And the number of people that I saw that didn't get a total and bombed out like more often in the snatch. I only saw a couple people bomb out in the clean and jerk, which was like pretty surprising to see that. Usually, if somebody's gonna bomb out, they'll bomb out in the snatch. So to bomb out in the clean and jerk was a little odd to see, but it did happen. But yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know that I saw anybody. I'm sure it happened, but me personally, I don't remember seeing anybody go six for six.
There were a few, not many. You're right, not many. Like even our athletes, by the way, shout out to our team. Nobody bombed.
Good job, guys.
But yeah, it was yeah, definitely like one of those situations where I don't think we had an athlete, any athletes go six for six. I think we had a couple five for sixes.
We had a couple five for sixes.
But yeah, so I definitely agree. Like it was an interesting dichotomy in terms of like looking at like the results and stuff.
And I want to say this, judges and referees aren't perfect in any sport that you're in. They're not perfect. They're human. They're gonna be fallible just like anybody else. Where it, I think it's important in whatever sport you're in that if you disagree with a call, that you maintain a level head and a level of like professionalism when you are disagreeing with that call.
Especially if you're going to be there for like the majority of the time, because like those people, they're like, I heard them talking about like, oh, that guy was being a jerk or that girl was being a jerk like earlier in the week or whatever. And like, I'm not going to say that people are vindictive, it's just they don't forget.
Correct. And here's the, and this is the thing. Again, going back to the human aspect, if you think about natural human tendency, when somebody is an a-hole, no matter, you know, how, where you kind of come from on the spectrum of like being able to maintain a state of zen, you know, a state of calm, like that person's gonna, like you said, they're gonna remember that, they're gonna talk about it, and somewhere in their head, they're gonna, when your next person steps up on stage on the platform, they're gonna look really hard. Not out of vindictiveness, not out of spitefulness, right? Just that thing in the back of their head of like, well, now I'm gonna pay close attention.
Probably the best,
Excuse me.
like when you're talking about like that, like knowing and that self-awareness and the kind of like composure or whatever. There was a girl I was helping on the last day when Chris was lifted, Katrina Rasmussen, powerhouse athlete. But she went for a world record on her clean and jerks, and she posted the video. I just saw the post yesterday, and it was a great analysis. She's like, she got called for red lights on her first clean or her second clean and jerk, which would have been the world record. And then she's like, she came out and made it, but it would her analysis of it. She goes, she's like, I could feel my elbow move. She's like, I was hoping they didn't notice, but they did. No worries. I knew I was going to come back and clean it up. And she did. Like, and it's funny because I remember watching her in that session. I couldn't tell like what she got called for. I just assumed it was like an elbow on the recovery, which I was correct. But then when you watch the video, like it was like the slightest of whatever. And then she made a comment about how she's been drug tested a lot the last like few competitions or whatever. And it just made me think about that with your whole thing. I was just like, oh man, I was like, I wonder if they remember her and are just like, we're gonna be super strict on this girl because, you know, for whatever reason. So yeah, I just like there's no, I do not believe that there's any vindictiveness with the officials, with the judging or anything like that, but they do, it's like they do remember stuff, they do
And
interact and things like that. And that's why I try, like my younger years, not the case. My younger years, I was a butthole to officials and stuff like that. But like now, I'm just like, yeah, man, like I've got an entire group of people that are dependent on, you know, this result, and I can't be mean to one person and go back and have it come back to, you know, somebody else getting in trouble because I was mean during another person's lift or something along those lines.
And you know, and it is a small community.
It
For as
really is.
many people as you've got there, it's a small community. And people interact and people know each other and people understand, like people know reputations, and like reputations do precede you. And it's just like, you know, watching any sport, that community is going to remember, hey, this person has a tendency to be a hothead and a butthole to refs. And sometimes you get, well, you know, not sometimes, a lot of times, the coaches, like yourself, is it's a good example, end up judging, right? And so if you've got a coach who's a dickhole to everybody in the back and throws a big fit and you know, says some shit to a different coach, and then that different coach ends up sitting in a judge's chair, and you've got lifters coming up, that's, there's gonna be that memory that comes into place, and you're gonna be like, this mother right here.
Or better yet, is that coach was lifting later.
Or that coach, yeah, dude, we saw that.
Yeah,
We
like
saw.
there were a lot of coaches there that were lifting, and it's just like, as a coach, you got to be on your best behavior because you want that same treatment for you.
Yes. And it's, and you know, it's interesting because, so at the event, there was a lot going on. You had Masters Worlds, you had Strongman Nationals next door, and then across the hall from us was the Adaptive CrossFit Games.
It was so cool to watch.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch.
After Chris's session, I went back and I sat with Danny from Onyx, and he and I were just kind of sitting out there watching the adaptive CrossFit game. Like, oh, that was super cool to watch. Like, I was really glad that we had the experience to see that.
Yeah, I mean it's super inspirational.
Yeah, wheel watch, shout out to you guys. You guys did a really good job putting that together and running the events and stuff like that. I was blown away at like the divisions. I think you and I were talking about it. They had like what, 15 divisions or
Yeah, well
something.
you've got like partial limb, full limb, like neuromuscular, neuroadaptive. So there's so many different divisions. And it's just so cool to watch. And it got me through this conversation and seeing that, like thinking about the CrossFit games
Yeah.
and the athletes that you see now compared to like the athletes from back in the day and the people who feel like they're entitled to some leniency because of who they are.
Yes.
And it's like, no. And you don't get leniency for who you are. If anything, you should expect to be held to a higher standard because of who you are, right? And in that level of kind of entitlement that you see some high level athletes step into where they think that they're above, the standard
Yes.
is, and it's funny because you can love him or hate him, it seems like there is no in between. Andrew Hiller and his stuff, right? For all that he does, one of the things that I think he does a really good job of is kind of being the ambassador for holding the standard for everyone. And I don't know that I always agree with how he does it,
Right.
but I think if you're a CrossFit Games athlete, right, and you're not meeting the standard of the movement, and that video is being put on YouTube, well, then yeah, you should expect to be the example for, hey, you got to do better. Like, this is just the reality. You're getting away with something right now.
It's funny that you've mentioned that because, I've had a few conversations with people who are interested in joining the team this week and stuff like that, talking about the ambassador stuff. And one of the things that I've been stressing, and I've been stressing the entire time, but I'm really pushing more now, is like I need people, especially in the master's weightlifting team, like you talked about, like you see those people all the time. Like they're your particular group of people now with the split, you're gonna see them 4 or 5 times a year. Like all those people, like Anna Martin, for instance. This is the fourth time I've seen her this year. She was at both nationals, she was at Pan Ams, she was at Worlds, and I'm gonna see her in Daytona. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just one of those, like you see people 4 or 5 times a year, 3 times a year, whatever. And one of the things that I've been starting to emphasize is like, if you're gonna be a part of this program, like you not only need to be a good ambassador to this team, because you and I have held people to a very high standard in terms of like, you're not gonna be a dickhead, you're not gonna like, you're teaching your people that you have now at your gym that are eventually going to lift with us and stuff. And I've been pushing it with the folks, but it's just like, hey, like we're not doing this. Like if the judge gave you a red light, there's a reason. Get off the platform. We'll figure it out and move on for the next lift, sort of a situation. And so not only being, an ambassador to our business and the team and the program that we have, but the master's community as a whole. And one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot is just like with that event that was going on, at one point, there were four different things going on because they had Masters Nationals for Strongman. They had the Grid 6 tournament, but I don't know where it was. I never
You
saw
know, I had
it.
no idea where that was.
They had the Wheel Wad running the adaptive games, and then they had the amateur nationals for strongman that were all, and there was a powerlifting competition
Excuse
going
me.
on too when we first got there. Like there were all these different things going on. And my thing that I've been telling people is I was like, if somebody has never seen weightlifting, master's weightlifting in particular, and you are their only interaction, what kind of a perception of the sport are they getting when they walk away? Is it going to be a negative one or is it going to be a positive one? And that's a thing I think as we're starting to progress and build, because weightlifting is becoming big, You know, like we're
Yep.
going into bigger venues, we're having more competitions, we're bigger attendance numbers and stuff like that. People need to understand that they are not only representing themselves and, you know, their team and their gym and all that stuff, but you are an ambassador to the sport as a whole. And if somebody's only interaction of that sport is their interaction that they got with you while you're waiting in line for food or for a coffee or, you know, an Uber, or you run into them at the airport, did they get a negative or a positive reaction to the
Right.
sport through you? And so that's something that I feel like, you know, kind of goes along with what you were saying in terms of just being an ambassador and realizing like there is a standard. So like people watching you throw a temper tantrum on the platform because you don't like a lift or something like that, or in the back throwing a chair or slamming your belt down and stuff like that. It's just one of those situations where it's just like you gotta, we're in a fishbowl here.
Yeah, man. Like it's I it, you know, even in the gym, like one of the
Yeah.
things that I've seen people do in my old affiliate that I was like, hey man, like that's not okay, is seeing somebody start tripping up on double unders and then they just get so frustrated they chuck their jump rope across the room. You're like, what are you doing? Like, why is that happening? You know, what's going on for you right now mentally and emotionally that you
Yes.
think this is
But that's
an
the okay
okay,
action.
right? That's the okay action. You can be frustrated, you can be upset, you can be mad. And I feel like the conversation we're having now can almost apply just to life
All
anymore,
that too, yeah.
right? But you're allowed to be mad. You're allowed to get frustrated. You're
100%.
allowed to do all these things. But how you act when those things happen
Yeah.
in front of others leaves a long and lasting impression.
100%.
And
100%.
when you, to your point about being the ambassador for the sport, if you're the only interaction that that person has with the sport and you act like that's terrible. I mean, that's it's just wholly unacceptable. And you gotta think about like how do we do that better? How do we elevate this sport the right way? And there's always gonna be bad actors, there's always gonna be welcoming mixed guys are here. There's always gonna be people who just can't, are the emotional equivalent of a 2-year-old when things go sideways, but really that should be the minority. And honestly, like that person's coach, God forbid it's the coach. Like if that's you and you're the coach, like stop.
There are a few of them out there.
I know. I know.
There's some popular ones too, which makes me even more annoyed.
I know. I don't understand that. You know, it's but that's a whole different
All right,
thing.
so
Anyway.
with moving on to other things,
Yeah.
what were some other takeaways? Maybe some not so, like, what were some takeaways that you, because you and I have had a lot of time to talk. We've talked about some of these things, you know, through we did a YouTube live, we were talking to some of the
Yeah.
athletes and stuff. What are other takeaways from like the team aspect, like managing a group of individuals? Because this was kind of your first foray into seeing that. Like I know I had been telling you leading up to it, I was excited for you to see this end of it, because this is an end of it that people just don't normally get. The being on for a session and then having to find a way to recharge because you got to be on the next day. And
Yeah.
whereas the athletes just have that one session that they've got to focus on, and then it's easy peasy from the rest of the time that they're there. They can sightsee, they can do their things and stuff like that. To interactions in the house, like I told you, and I did it. One of the things I am constantly like just curious about is how people make their coffee in the morning. Like all the people in the house, I was very happy to see that we had a bunch of psychopaths like me that drank black coffee with a little, like an ice cube in it or two or something like that. There were a few of you that put a bunch of shit in your coffee, but like for the most part, it was me, Chris, and Rachel. We outweighed the majority of just drinking our coffee straight black, and you and Jess were in the minority of putting stuff in and stuff like that. But those are just little things that I pick up on and things like that. What were some other takeaways that like you kind of noticed or you saw, appreciated, or you were kind of just like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, so one of the things that you mentioned just a second ago is like the needing to recharge the battery, right? So I think that people don't appreciate how much emotional and mental and physical energy goes into like just getting somebody through 6 lifts.
Yeah.
right? Because it's if you're just watching it from the outside, you just see somebody get up on a platform, you know, six times and they do six lifts and then they're done. You're like, well, that's the easiest sport. No, I mean, you know, as far as the amount of time and everything else, no, absolutely not. First of all, let's just be real honest. And I love the team and all of the amazing humans on it. But if you're listening, you're all a bunch of head cases when it comes to meet day. And every single one of you knows it. Every single one of you
Oh, they
were,
are. They all
yeah,
are.
you all own it. I mean, you know, I get it. I get that experience on a regular basis because, you know, Rachel's my
You're
wife.
married to one of them.
Yeah, I'm married to one of them. And so, but navigating those waters as a coach and as a support system, that is a lot. Especially if you only have one athlete, you're like, both of you are done after the one session. Great. You go and you know, decompress and everything else. And you're like, we're good. And you're on the same thing. But nope. If you've got two people one day, and you got another person the next day, another person the next day, another person the next day. And through all of this, right, it's like navigating that individual while getting ready with the individual who goes the next day and then talking the person that goes the day after that down off of their ledge, right? And then, of course, when everybody's done lifting, they're ready to go and do all kinds of things. Like they want to go to Zion Park, or they want to go here, or they want to go there, they want to do all this
But
stuff.
then you feel like the party pooper because they're like, you coming with? I'm like, no, I'm not.
No, it's not
I'm
happening.
gonna go sit in a corner with my computer and just stare at it
Yep.
for a couple hours. You were talking about the six lifts, and I got a chance. I was sitting down talking to Les Simonton and Corinne, who are just like patriarch matriarch type figures in weightlifting. Like they have probably forgotten more about weightlifting than I will ever learn. Sort of a situation. Michael Cohen too was telling me about this, and you were talking about six lifts, and they were saying, they're like, in a meets time, and a lot of people don't realize this because they don't understand the cards and all that stuff. It's actually 18 lifts. Because you get, your changes and stuff like that. And it made me think of your session where you were helping John Houseman because you were changing, especially on his clean and jerks. Like you were changing his lifts quite a bit and stuff like that. And people don't understand the roller coaster that goes in with that. Like they put down an opener and then like if they're feeling good or if they put down a little bit of a lower opener just to see make in case they're not feeling great. And then like
And you gotta, and
something
yeah, go
happens on the
ahead.
car on the table and you got to move it around. And so now they got to prepare it to go out and take this lift. But it's like, no, you know what? Like, I'm going to give you one extra kilo because it's going to give you a little bit more time to rest and recover. Like, all these little, those little nuances that you don't necessarily get at a local meet because, for lack of a better term, most of these people that are at this caliber event, they're going to be following themselves. Like, they're going to be towards the ends of their sessions and stuff like that because it's the best of the best. And so they don't necessarily have all of that luxury, so to speak, of the strategy in the back and the moving around of the cards and their attempts and stuff like that. And that was the one thing that like I felt bad a little bit because I didn't realize how many changes John was going to use while you were back there. And I felt like every time I looked at the scoreboard and he was ready to go up, I was like, nope, he changed. I was like, whew. All right, I have no idea what's going on back there. And he did really well. And obviously you handled that
You did
situation.
great.
But like we were talking about that and how like it's not just the six lifts, it's the six lifts plus all the changes in between their lifts and monitoring everybody else's lifts in the session.
Correct. That I was going to say, that's the big piece too, right? And that happened in John's session. Like he was going to open, you know, he was set at 100 kilos for an opener, and when you looked at the board, you know, there's like three people set for 100, but you can watch it and you know, all right, this session's going to be competitive. These guys are lowballing it coming in, so the odds on them bumping out. And next thing you know, there's like eight guys at 100 kilos, and you gotta be okay. Well, now we're gonna, he's moving okay. We really wanted to open him, you know,
Two or whatever.
Jim really wanted to open him at like 102. So we just, and you sit and you wait until like the last second. And then they're like, oh, we're gonna, and you go and you make that change. And there's, you know, we talked about this. You were like, you're being really nice. I would have burnt the shit out of the clock.
Oh, I was burning clocks left and right. Burning a clock, by the way, for those who don't know. So when you miss a lift, you're on a 2-minute clock. And if the clock starts, or if yeah, if the clock starts and then you change, or for instance, like if like somebody misses a lift, then it goes to the next lifter. Once the clock starts, you can go in and make the change. And then what'll happen is the person who missed their lift, instead of getting a 2 minute clock, they get a 1 minute clock. It's called burning their clock. I am ruthless and I will burn your clock. Especially in those situations with like lots of athletes and stuff like that, like a big thick session that you're trying to get through and you're just trying to navigate it. Like I burn clocks. I do not have any remorse, but it's happened to me. Like I know it's going to happen to me. But I like, yeah, I remember I told you, I was like, when you were being way too nice, I was like, I would have burned the shit out of that clock right there. But
Yeah, well, you
it's all part of the strategy and stuff like that, and trying to figure out and navigate these sessions and stuff. And like I said, I was just happy to share the misery. And like, don't get me wrong, like coaching meets is the funnest part for me of this job, you know? But I was just happy to share the misery with somebody else. 'Cause like, sometimes you talk about things and people are like, oh my God, how hard can it really be? And it's like, you have no clue, no clue. Like, I mean, you and I talked about it too. Like I disappeared one of the nights. Like I was like, I was trying to work in the house. Couldn't get anything done. So you guys went out to dinner, you went to pizza and you went to the downtown area and stuff like that. I just went and got a bunch of work done. I did it in Valley Forge too, and all the lifters were poking fun at me because I just like disappeared for a few hours to go get some work done. Like it happens. But it's just like, yeah, the being on and everything like that. And I know I kept messaging you. I'm like, hey, we're gonna do a podcast. You're like, no.
No.
You're
Well,
like,
and
no.
that's the other thing too. It's like I think a lot of people don't realize is, we still have other work responsibilities like during that time as well. So, it's by the time like I would get back to the house and sit down and do, sorry, the dog's going crazy right now. Sit back down, like at some point I've got to work. And so doing work, and then by the time you would get back, you're like, we're gonna do a podcast? No. Like I'm drained from being at the event, and then I'm mentally toast from like doing work on top of that and just trying to organize life. And but I will say, one of the things about, I don't know, we've been talking for a hot minute, but
Wrap it
one of the
up.
things that I thought was a lot of fun was, being in the team house. And because you get that opportunity to spend a little bit more time together. We have a really, I recorded like the first night it was just you, Jess, and I. We recorded a little video of just everybody like goofing around in the kitchen. It's fun to watch, by the way. I'll post it up on YouTube so people can get a peek
Oh,
at
me and
it.
my can opener.
Yeah, you and the can opener. I was convinced you were gonna cut your fucking thumb off. Just so everybody knows, and this will be in the video eventually when it gets up on YouTube. There was no can opener in the house. The house was weird.
I made
Yeah, well, made is a strong word, man. You took a serrated knife
Yeah.
and just forced that can open with a
I
serrated
wanted my
knife.
chili.
Yeah. It
I was
was
nothing on top of
also
the chili.
interesting to see how everybody ate. I ate like a trash panda.
Yeah. I was
Like,
very routine. Like I was I, it was meat, potatoes, and chili every night, and then it was eggs, bacon, and bagels every morning. Like, and then Sour Patch Kids or so sour strips for lunch. Like that was
I think I was like overnight oats and some hard boiled eggs in the morning.
made that whole brownie the one night. Like you were like, this.
The brownie was good too. A piece of cake was really good. I had like a little something. I had something sweet like every night. Like that's how kind of I dealt with it. But it was fun to see how like everybody ate. Everybody, was trying to do a thing but also interact with people. But it was good, man. It
Some
was ex
great
overall a lot of
conversations
fun.
too. I
It was
guess
some
I'm
great
deep,
conversation.
and that's what I love about like somebody like Chris. Chris will have those deep conversations, and I feel like he always like every day had a deep conversation with somebody. It was somebody every day, and I was appreciative of that.
Yeah, I had a great conversation with Chris.
So running things down, we'll just kind of recap the team here and then get on out of there. Performance wise, Yvette Carcass, she went 4 for 6, ended up winning the gold medal in her division. Loretta Scott, she went 4 for 6 as well. 4 for 6 as well. She ended up with the bronze medal in the 77s. Yvette won the 58s, and then Michelle Picking won the 77s, going 5 for 6. on her lifts. And then we went to Brett Andrus, who went 5 for 6 as well. He ended up winning the 110 class, and then he won the best overall for the men's 50 to 54 age group, which is pretty cool. Get too many of those. Yeah, we just don't get too many of those. We'll get maybe like one a year or like one a meet or something like that, but it's just not very often we have somebody in the best lifter contention. And people are like, "Oh, you plan for those?" I was like, "No, I know, like, because you have no idea what people are going to lift and the formula that they use and stuff like that." So that was pretty cool for him. Then the next day was Erica. She went 4 for 6, ended up silver medal in the 49 kilo or 48 kilo class. Sorry. And then Jake Kerwin, he went 3 for 6, ended up 4th overall, bronze medal in the clean and jerk, which is really cool for his first worlds and stuff like that. A lot of learning experience there. Megan, same thing, first world. She went 2 for 6, just super nervous the entire time. But she ended up with a bronze medal in the 86 plus class, which was really great for her first outing. Then we had, we talked about it in those gigantic classes. We had Jess and Rachel. Jess went 4 for 6, missing PR attempts on her all time PR attempts on her last two lifts. Still ended up with a PR total, PR clean and jerk. She was, I think, 11th overall in the total. And then you had Rachel, who she went 4 for 6. I think she tied her competition PR in the clean and jerk, ended up 6th in the clean and jerk, 9th overall, which is really awesome for how stacked that session is and how she was feeling going into it. And then the last one of the weekend was Chris, 3 for 6, another silver medal in that 94 kilo class. He was 1 kilo off the gold. And it would have been really nice for him to cap off with because he's gotten a couple, like we were joking around, he's had 4 straight silver medals.
That's what he messaged me after and was like, "Hey, what's the name of the nutrition coach for the team?"
We talked a lot about that on Saturday when we got back. So, but overall, like the team did really well. Definitely one of the best performances we've had at one of those kinds of competitions. Looking forward to the next one. Like next up, we have the Mid-American Championships, which you're going to be at. I know I will be there back in Libertyville, Illinois, the end of October. And then after that, it is Daytona, the other Masters Worlds. We'll have a big group there. No idea what that's going to be like because they're going to do a similar scaled event in less days. So I just feel like those are going to be some long, long days, my man.
The only upside to that one is Rachel promised me, because that's like my
Oh,
birthday.
you're getting rewarded afterwards.
I'm getting rewarded because I get to go to Galaxy's Edge at Disney World. Like, I don't give two shits about the rest of Disney World, but I just want to go to the Star Wars
Oh,
Galaxy's
yeah.
Edge.
Oh, yeah. So, with that
I'm
being
gonna go
said,
build a lightsaber.
so what else we got to add here? I know obviously we got the app still going on. If you guys want to go on there, get subscribed to that, get your 7-day free trial going. We've had a couple people subscribing this week. Appreciate you and your support and the continued support. I got to get a graphic up on the social medias of our new tee. We have our new limited tee, the Strength and Unity one. It's a super cool design. We've gotten comments on before, so we decided to make one our own. And I'm really pumped for that. I got to order mine still. I just haven't had a chance to do that since I've.
Yeah, I got to place my apparel order today.
There you go. What else we got going on, John? Anything else to let them know about?
I think that's about it. Like, as always, just like and subscribe to things. Drop us comments if there's anything that you want to hear us talk about or anything you wish we'd shut up about. Go ahead and drop that into a comment. And then, if you're, I think it's important to note too, guys, if you're out there and you're interested in competing, go to the website, drop us a line through the remote coaching
Yes, please do.
page. And one of us will reach out to you personally and have the conversation about your experience and what it is you'd like to do. I think the other thing too to kind of promote here is that Ton doesn't just coach like weightlifting athletes. He's also got people that compete in Highland Games and strongman and powerlifting. So if you're interested in talking to him about those, that's available. And in the app, the app does have, right, not only does it have a master's track, it's got a regular weightlifting track, it's got a powerlifting track, it's got a hypertrophy track, it's going to have a CrossFit style programming track in there as well. I've been working on getting that put in to the back end. So, it's we talk a lot about the weightlifting and especially like master's weightlifting, but Tom's experience and knowledge is, really deep in all things kind of strength. So he won't tell you that, but I'll fucking tell you that.
Yeah, he'll tell you that. I gotta work on that. We'll work on that. Actually, I'm excited. We're putting together that new logo for the Atlas Method stuff. Once I get that
Hell
back,
yeah.
I'll send that out to you. We'll have some cool gear with that. But yeah, we're if you guys are interested, reach out. We'll have that conversation with you. One of the big benefits I feel like that we offer, on top of the fact that our athletes produce and continue to get better, we keep injuries lower, is we're gonna be at your meets. We go to, the two state meets in Illinois every year because that's where we're based out of. But we travel to all these other competitions and stuff like that. So we've got John there with like in-person capabilities, being right there at CrossFit Warehouse where he runs classes and can work with people there. And then on top of like the remote coaching and stuff like that. So yeah, we are a full functioning service in terms of whatever your strength and conditioning goals are. So with that being said, I am Tom Soroka. That is the beautiful John Ziegler. Hopefully he feels better next week. Thanks for Strength Agenda Radio, guys.
Thanks, guys. Take care. I never know how to end the thing. Still take care.